For the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we want to wish all you mothers a very wonderful and blessed Mother's Day, as this is the day our country has set aside to honor mothers. Yes, we want to give honor to whom honor is due, but not just one day a year. No, sir. We want to honor our mothers every day. And those of us who no longer have our mothers with us, we have those wonderful memories deep in our hearts, do we not? Well, this morning we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 4 for our study, as the Shunammite woman is not as well known as many other Bible characters. We're not given her name, in fact, but her life of faithfulness as a wife and a mother is memorialized in the Word of God, and so we'll want to begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we're studying God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and as we assemble to worship God, we strive to do so with a proper attitude in spirit and also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in truth. And you would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else to mention, we're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. Your comments, positive or negative, are always welcome. And something else to mention, we're always ready to study God's Word with anyone at your convenience. And certainly we want to give our address again. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now we're going to 2 Kings chapter 4 for our study this morning, as we're asking this question: why was the Shunammite woman said to be great? And we're going to start with verse 8 of 2 Kings chapter 4. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. There it is. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. So here's a woman who served others. Yes, she constrained a holy man of God to eat bread. And this, of course, was Elisha, the prophet, who came after Elijah, the great prophet of God. Well, prophets of God were not among the most popular people at this time in Israel's history. As we know, the northern kingdom, they didn't have any good kings, and so few people even wanted the prophets around, let alone show them kindness and hospitality. And so here is the Shunammite woman having a suggestion for her husband to agree, let's have a special room for the prophet Elisha. Well, she reminds us of Dorcas in the New Testament, who was busy doing good things for others. And you can see there, as she had passed, the widows were showing things that she had made for them. And of course, Peter, an apostle of Christ, raised her up from the dead. What a rejoicing occasion was that. But again, Dorcas was one who was well known for serving others. And this Shunammite woman is likewise in that same vein. So that's a lesson for us, isn't it? She communicated also with her husband, as we see verses 9 and 10, as she spoke unto her husband, and she suggested this certainly good deed to have the room set up for Elijah. But I wanted to mention here, communication between husbands and wives a lot of times has become a lost art, hasn't it? Sad to say. We hope that's not our case with our husband and wife situations. So if we're married, and we certainly need to communicate, that should be very obvious, and communicate properly. Sometimes the husband hides behind the newspaper and doesn't pay attention to his wife. It can be vice versa on other occasions as well. So let's think about that and set up a proper communication with one another and enjoy our love for each other as we should have. Well, something else to mention, Jesus told John and James after their mother had asked Jesus for her sons to sit on the right and left hand in his kingdom. This is Matthew 20, 26 and 27. Jesus said, "But it shall not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." So let's ask ourselves, are we with an attitude of a servant or desirous of being served? So again, we're seeing why the Shunammite woman was said to be great, because she served others. And we need to do likewise, do we not? Yes, we do. Matthew 25, 40, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." That, of course, is Christ speaking. Well, we need to mention this, as a major cause for divorce today is what? Selfishness. Yes, that's a primary cause, is it not? Jesus said in Matthew 19, 6, "Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh." Notice that. Husband and wife. Male and female. Not male and male, not female and female, but male and female. They are no more twain, but one flesh. "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." And we know God instituted marriage. Genesis 2, 18 through 24. This is the first institution, marriage, the family, and it's the backbone of our country, and people are wanting to have it shattered. How terrible and tragic is that? Well, let's notice Matthew 8, as long as we're here in Matthew 19, let's notice 8 and 9, as Jesus gives the only scriptural grounds for divorce. Now, I know many people are not adhering to this, and many are just ignoring it, but this is God's word. Let's listen carefully to what Jesus said. "He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you," this is the authority of our Lord and Savior speaking, "whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication." That's the one grounds for putting away one spouse, as long as you are innocent. The innocent party can put away the guilty. And Jesus goes on to say, "and shall marry another, committeth adultery." So if you put away your spouse for some other reason and marry again, that's an adulterous relationship, according to Christ. "And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." There it is. It's not difficult to understand and we all should see it. Now, what if everybody practiced it? Practiced the teachings of Christ? You see, marriages would be until death do us depart. We're making vows unto God, so let's make note of that. But we want to go on in our study, and again, we're wanting to see the Shunammite woman was said to be great. Now, why was that the case? Well, we've seen that she is one to serve, but let's pick up at verse 11, now in 2 Kings 4. And it fell on a day that he came thither, that is Elisha, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman, this is the Shunammite woman he's talking about. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. Isn't that something? She could have had quite a few things, you know, perhaps one might come up with at that opportunity. But no, she said, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaiden. Well, notice verse 17, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season, and Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. So this was God's doing, was it not? We know that it was. So she was a woman who was satisfied with her station in life. She was one who served. She's one who's satisfied with her station in life. Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or the captain of the host? Verse 13, her answer again, I dwell among my own people. She was not seeking for fame, fortune, or glory. Oh no, she's not one to complain. We know there are a lot of people that complain daily, sad to say. So what about our attitude with our circumstances in this life? Let us not forget from where we came. If we have obeyed the gospel, our sins are washed away by the blood of Christ, and as long as we remain faithful, walking in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will continually cleanse us of our sins. Now, Paul was one who mastered this attitude. Yes, he knew how to be satisfied with his physical circumstances. Philippians 4:11, case in point, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That's what we need to be. Like Paul, learn to be content in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. It doesn't matter. 1 Timothy 6:8, Paul writing to the young evangelist Timothy, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Are any of us starving to death? I think not. Let's be content with what we have and rejoice and give God the glory. Praise his holy name. Let us be thankful for what we have. And if we're in Christ, where all the spiritual blessings are, we're so much blessed beyond compare. Yes, we certainly are. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we can count on that. Yes, God certainly keeps his word. It's impossible for God to lie, as we all should know. But let's go on in our study of the Shunammite woman who was said to be great. Picking back up with verse 18, and when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. How terrible. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Note that. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Well, you see, here's a woman who had strength and self-control. She was able to maintain self-control in a time of crisis. She faced a crisis with her husband and told him, it shall be well. There in verse 23, she had the love and confidence and respect of her husband. You see, she didn't command him. You noticed that, did you not? As she send me, I pray thee, one of the young men. She was making a request. And so we want to certainly see that. She had the love, confidence, yes, and respect of her husband. How do we react in times of crisis? Do we fall to pieces? Or use self-control by our God-given strength? Let's appreciate what it means to have the peace of mind that passeth all understanding. That's right. And let's remember from where true strength comes, Philippians 4:13, in that same chapter, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Galatians 5:22 through 24, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Put those to death. But let's produce the fruit of the Spirit. Agape love, joy, peace. That's what we're talking about, isn't it? Peace of mind that passeth all understanding. Long-suffering. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. We know that. Well, what about us? Gentleness. Boy, that's something that needs work on in today's times. Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Yes, self-control. Against such there's no law. So let's remember that and produce these fruits. In Acts 24:25, as Paul, he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, that's self-control, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season. I will call for thee. Did that convenient season ever come? I don't remember reading that, do you? We're not to put off doing what's right and submitting to the will of God. That's not something to put off. Here's a man that was with someone else's wife. He wasn't practicing self-control. He certainly wasn't practicing righteousness. And he wasn't prepared for the judgment to come, so we can see why he trembled. But do something about it. Don't put it off. So we've seen now the Shunammite woman was one who served. She was satisfied with her station in life. And she was a woman who had strength and self-control. This is a great example, isn't it? But she was also a woman who was in service to God. She was a woman of action, as well as being in submission to her God and our God, of course, the God. As we note verses 25 through 28, so she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel, and it came to pass when the man of God saw her far off, he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. How are things at home? Well, she had a dead child, didn't she? But she's doing what is going to be necessary to bring him back to life. She has faith in the man of God, knowing he receives power from God. And so she came to the man of God, caught him by his feet there in verse 27. Well, Gehazi, the servant, came near to thrust her away. He was not doing the right thing. Obviously, as the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? She's wanting action. And of course, we go on to read that Elisha tells Gehazi to gird up his loins and take the staff that is Elisha's, and go and don't delay, as you're not to even salute anyone. Just get on there and lay the staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And so he goes on to lay the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. So Gehazi was unsuccessful. So this is a situation where Elisha needs to be there and go to God in prayer. As he does this, as you see in verses 32 here through 34, yes, Elisha was coming to the house. Behold, the child was dead and laid upon the bed. He went in there and shut the door upon the twain and prayed unto the Lord. And then he went up and laid upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. And so he does this three times. And you see, the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And so she was able to come in unto him, the Shunammite woman, and take up her son. And she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Verse 37. Yes, a miracle was wrought. It wasn't mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. No, this was a miracle. And we need to appreciate the power of God involved in raising up her son. And notice Hebrews 11:35, women receive their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection, possibly referring to the Shunammite woman. Now, this was a woman who was concerned for her family, but put God first. She sought a man of God to return with her. And when her child was restored to life, she bowed herself to the ground with thanksgiving. And let's go over to chapter 8, 2 Kings chapter 8. Notice here, as we see, Elisha spoke unto the woman whose son had restored to life, saying, "Arise and go thou and household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years." And the woman rose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. She was warned, and she obeyed, her and her household. She puts God first. And you see, she was able to come back to her land. As the king understands, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. Verse 5, "And when the king asked the woman, she told him, so the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even unto now." She was well taken care of, wasn't she? Yes, read Psalm 128. Yes, I wish we had time to go over this. "But blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways." That's right. So many women today have neglected their husbands, children, and home, and have been called, so-called, liberated. Yes, sad to say, that's with a lot. But let's again ask, is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? To all our mothers and wives. But this is also for us husbands too, isn't it? To take a lesson. Fathers, husbands, yes. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Are we following that? We certainly hope so. Again, is it well with us? How are things at home? This Shunammite woman was said to be great because she was a server. She was satisfied with her life. She was a woman of strength and self-control. She was a woman who was in service to God. And her name is unknown, but her life shines bright down through the ages and benefits us today. We want to have that good influence, do we not? As wives and mothers and husbands and fathers, yes, we should. We stand ready to assist you this morning if you've never obeyed the gospel. We'll study together and show what the Bible says we must do in order to become a child of God. We need to hear the truth, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized into Christ, and live faithfully, even if it means our death. We thank you so much for listening today.